We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
What is up, everybody? Back here for the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We're going to have a sound bank 7 o'clock this hour. Get into some head coach Kellen Moore sound right off the bat. Also, Devon Godchow and Kelvin Banks Jr. from today's media sessions. The black and gold back at practice today, but it was a lighter affair after having day one of pads on Monday. They decided to go through a walkthrough session and more of a special teams practice today. Very short workout. But the next 2 days, at least, Cajun Cannon, hopefully the players are all revved up and ready to go for back-to-back days we're going to get in pads.
Well, and did you say this, or Jeff, when we were talking about it, that they might actually have some tackling reps?
That was, Jeff Duncan, who joined us last hour.
Whoa. Like, now, I'm intrigued.
Now you're getting excited, right?
You know, because you always worry a little bit about that, about taking the running backs to the ground. But you know who you could do live tackling refs with? Those young cats.
Yeah, everyone but Alvin Kamara. We don't need to do that with him.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even wait for the preseason game. I wouldn't even do that with Kendre Miller. We're not even going to do any live refs with him. I would do more. Let me see. I have some notes of that running back room. Who would be?
Vaeus Jones has stood out a lot lately.
Yeah, like, okay, we could tackle him.
Right.
The guy that now I.
Devin Neal, the rookie.
Yeah, you could tackle him a few times. I wouldn't tackle Clyde Edwards-Helaire necessarily, but maybe two or three of those guys, okay, yeah, we.
Cam Akers?
And then, not Cam Akers either. In the preseason game, obviously, you get the tackling.
Okay.
But, you know, I remember that, and the Sean Payton and. And the defense, I don't know if they wanted to tackle them. Remember that Kyrie Robinson.
And Chris Ivory.
That
duo was definitely.
How violent they ran, it's like, whoa. You might be coming to tackle them for real, and you'd be like a speed bump. And then the back of your head's hitting the ground, then you just worried about tripping them. Yeah, I know. I would welcome that kind of running back. We haven't had that in a while.
A bruiser.
And they were like pound for pound. You got every pound of what they ran with. And just ran like an animal, like vicious, like violent. Now, I think it ended up costing them. Chris Ivory, I think, got a good deal with the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say when he played the Saints, didn't he have like an 85, 90-yard run for a touchdown? Ran, ended up having over 100 yards. But, it was from like, and you look, they'll find you wherever you're at. They were from Tiffin University. Sound like almost like some kind of tissue paper, you know. Tiffin University, I think it's in Ohio, and then I think that's where Kyrie Robinson or one of them. And then another one was from West Texas A&M. You know, they got East Texas A&M now. Texas A&M Corpus Christi, University of Texas San Antonio. One of those directional schools. That's where they were from. And I tell you what, they were not necessarily knew who they had to block in pass protection, but give them the rock. They
were a load to bring down, right?
No, and that's why they made the team, because how violent they ran.
I always laugh still, you know, this is when I'm just starting out too. And one of the days we get into the Saints locker room and Kyrie Robinson just yells out as the media is walking in, "Here comes the devil." And I was like, "We're the devil?" I was like, please, we're a bunch of pussycats here.
Yeah. And
then he went to the New York Jets, and I laughed. I'm like, enjoy New York, Kyrie.
Yeah, enjoy that media. Marcus Yarns.
Right. He's definitely a person a lot of folks are talking about and interested in seeing more of.
And I'm telling you, that I think Bill's character, do a live goal line, because the units take pride in that. Well, if it's a defensive unit, man, we knock the crap out of our offense. And you want to win that. You know what I mean? Like, you put the ball on the 9-yard line, put it on the 4 or whatever. And you still could pass it, you know, do play action, whatever, and get in the shotgun, spread them out, whatever, and just do that. Both from an offensive defensive standpoint. So if you don't want to do 12 reps, do six. Because everybody's watching, all the players, they're watching all this film, and who's kicking ass or who's getting their ass kicked? Or is it a stalemate?
Yeah.
Who's winning? So when Jeff Duncan said, yeah, we might see a few tackle drills, like,
whoa. Your head perked up a little there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, that's, well, we do play tackle football still. it's not, grab the flag. So I could see a lot of the younger guys maybe being involved in those drills against each other. It's a shame, though. I'm going to bring that up again. And the Chargers, man, they kind of – so they were scared. The Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, they scared the Saints. They didn't want to practice against us.
Yeah, who knows the story behind that?
I mean, come on. Because it would make sense. We're going out to Irvine. Then we're going to play the Chargers on a Sunday, a couple of days. Okay, so let's say you don't want to do the whole week. Just do a couple of practices. And we'll drive to the new Chargers facility, wherever they're at.
Like you mentioned, joint practice with the Houston Texans makes a ton of sense just because of proximity. Yeah. I know we're not playing them in the preseason, though, which we usually do.
Yeah, you would think the I-10 rivalry, AFC, NFC, that would make sense. So we did that for a while. I remember going to Houston.
They
came here. Oh,
who, Jeremy Shockey got into a fight. I recall that one.
Yeah, we had a couple of throwdowns. And who was their announcer? I'm trying to think. Was the quarterback, was he? Did he win the Heisman or something from Houston, or was he a Heisman candidate? I still think he does football games. I can't think of his name right now. But he was doing Houston, Texas. And we'd always go. He'd come on our radio show. We'd go on his.
Mark Vandermeer?
No, that was the white guy. I'm talking about he's a black quarterback.
Oh, Andre Ware.
Andre Ware. Yes, Andre Ware. Remember how?
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, and he was doing Texans, and he's still doing like color for games. And I don't know, it just made sense because they're in the AFC, we're in the NFC, and you play them once every 4 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We should practice against each other, huh?
Taking a break here on sports. When we get back, we'll open that sound bank. Stay tuned for even more on WWL Saints Radio.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been promising you some sound from our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. We're going to hear from a guy that's a former LSU Tiger, spent his entire career in New England, but has now joined the ranks of the fleur-de-lis, the black and gold. I'm talking about defensive tackle Davin Godchow, who spoke with the media today after practice, and let's hear from him.
You express your excitement about being here, returning to Louisiana, playing football in Louisiana, and now you're getting the opportunity to do it. How's it felt so far?
Feels good, man. Feels great to be back. Like I said, getting acclimated back to the heat. First day of pass was yesterday. Thought we had a great start. Just got to keep building on it with another two back-to-back padded days. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the grind. Excited for just keep it going.
A lot of guys that have been asked about you or that have brought you up and talked about your strength and everything like that. How core is that as a part of your game, particularly at your position?
I mean, I'm a year now, so I think it's kind of some of that old man strength. Just keeping it going, but just knowing like different techniques of ways, just to stay dominant up front, be stout. This team, I know they struggled last year in the run game, so a big part of bringing me and a couple other guys here to stop the run. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be a great season, but just got to continue to build on it in practice.
I imagine like every defensive coach is like, yeah, we got to stop the run. But just like considering like what it was last year and kind of the resources y'all put into that, like how much of an emphasis has that been for y'all early in this training camp?
It's really just about the pride. I mean, Coach Kellen has been doing a great job mixing a lot of, he's a very creative offensive mind, been mixing a lot of things in. But it's just really just about having pride about stopping the run, going out there for the, get guys on third down and come home. And but a lot of sacks come off first and second downs too. So I know everybody want to rush on third down, but I mean that's only one down. So I mean everybody wants to get the sack on third down, but a lot of sacks come off first and second down, play action pass and you know, booth and all that. So you know, just kind of taking pride in stopping the run. It just got to be something that you got to really just do. I mean, it's a technique to it too, but it's really more about just having the pride to just stop the run, because you don't want a team just gassing you down the field each and every play.
What's in your strength? Is that something that, like, was there a point in your life when you realized that I am stronger than everybody else? Or like,
man, I ain't the strongest person on the field. I'm not the strongest. I got a lot of strong guys, but it's really about leverage. It's how you use your leverage. A lot of guys, you know, you just got. I've been playing this league for. I've been fortunate to play in this league for 9 years now, going on 9 years, and it really just. I feel like I've seen everything. When it comes to run defense, I've seen everything. I know the schemes teams are gonna try to attack you too. So I guess it's just. Really just about the repetition. I mean, we rep it in practice. We rep it with Coach Bo Davis and the individual. So I've seen it, and I know how teams are going to try to attack us. And, yeah, I'm excited for it. We just got to – it's going to take all 11, though. It's not just going to take me or, you know, some other guys. It's going to take 11. It's going to take 11 people. The linebacker got to have great fits. The secondary got to come down and have great fits. And it's not just – you know, when you see the run game, big explosive plays, like, oh, man, the D-line messed up. But everybody got to fit together. Everybody got to gel together, because if one person is weak, we all are weak. And, you know, you can have a run go for a 60-yard touchdown and everybody's, you know, hands up like, what happened? And then, you know, it's just probably one thing that happened. So everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to communicate. I communicate to DeMarie. DeMarie communicate to me what he see. Then we go from there. DeMarie may communicate in the secondary what he's saying. So everybody has to be strong together, because we can't have a weak link, because if we do, it's going to get exposed.
As a fresh face to the scene, your perspective, what is really the potential for this D-line?
To be dominant, to win, expected to win, expected to get back to old Saints football when they was winning. Really just set the tone to be the leaders for the team. You know, as a D-line, everybody's going to watch the D-line and the O-line. And I'm excited that, you know, we got 5 first-rounders on O-line, so I'm excited to see them match up week one. You know, I'm excited about that group. But just set the tone, really the tone setters. When you say D-line, you think of tone setters. You think of guys coming to wreck some shop. You think of guys coming to make your life a living H. So just really setting the tone. And I'm excited to set the tone the first game. I mean, I know we got more steps to take in training camp to get through it against Arizona. I'm excited to set the tone and just to let them know that New Orleans Saints football is back. And we're going to get back by being a team on offense, defense, and special teams. And, of course, you know, my bread and butter is, you know, stopping the run. So before anybody gets sacked, we have to make sure we have a solid foundation of stopping the run on this defense. And I think we got the right guys to do it, and I'm excited.
Devontae, I love this. It's different than any of your previous thoughts. But what have you made of the staff's, like, kind of emphasis on recovery? Getting that kind of time.
Oh, man, Coach Kellen, I said this is day 8 for us. I think day 8, I lose days in training camp. The day it is, you know, long grind days, but this is the best training camp I've been a part of. Just Coach Kellen, how his approach is, the training staff, the staff in general, how they take care of the guys. This is the best training camp I've been a part of. You know, you grind, and, you know, we're going to take care of you, grind, you know, because this is a long season. We added an extra game. Roger Goodell, we added an extra game. So, you know, we're this is the best training camp I've been a part of, and I'm excited for it. I hope he continue to take care of us, but we got to continue to give him, you know, good days once we out on the field. Make sure we are clean and we are, you know, correcting our approach, our plays and stuff like that. So, but this is the best camp I've been a part of, and you know, being in the heat is just going to make it tougher, because we're going to need games like this against Miami, Carolina, Tampa. You know, we're going to be in the heat. You know, they don't have a dome, they don't have a cover, so we got to get acclimated to this heat also, even though we play in a Superdome.
The best, you mean, like, this is like the best.
Just taking care of, like, fresh. Just taking care of, like, body's not, you know, beat up. You know, you're going to have nicks and bruises, but just, you know, just the approach of the staff to take care of the players, I think, is the right approach. I think, you know, I think everybody should follow it. I mean, because it's, you know, the players got to stay healthy, because, I mean, you can have great coaches, but if you don't have great players, then, like, you're nothing without your players, so.
That was defensive tackle Devon Godchaux speaking to the media today, former LSU Tiger.
Well, well spoken.
Yeah, very well. And you heard him too. What stood out to me for sure, Bobby, that attitude he wants to bring to this defensive line, plus him saying this is the best training camp he's ever been a part of, and now this is his ninth year in the NFL.
Well, it was professionally run. I think Kellen Moore and
the staff are definitely more very in tune to taking care of the players' bodies.
Yes, and Kellen Moore, you know, you take notes when you're on a staff. Like, he'll take notes when he was in Dallas. Okay, what worked, what didn't work.
Yeah.
The same thing in Philadelphia. And then you look in at the program
and
how you construct practice.
Back to that Jeff Duncan interview we had last hour as well. He said the Eagles coming to the Super Bowl were the healthiest team in the NFL. So,
well, they must have been doing something right.
Hopefully he's taken a lot of what Nick Sirianni had implemented over there and bringing it to New Orleans, because we sure need it. Hopefully he can help the Pelicans out too with that.
Yeah, no, because you know, the thing is, you can't make the club in the tub. And, you know, hopefully like a guy like Kendre Miller, all of a sudden, maybe they advised him, you know, your diet.
Yeah, I'm hoping he grew up a little this year.
Well, he went, he said he's a little lighter.
Right.
That is, instead of 220, 215. Now, it could be bad luck how you injured, but he can't afford to have bad luck anymore. Kendre Miller, what he said, well, let me change my number. If that works, it works. I don't know. Instead of 25, I'm 5 now.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So whatever works. So
it just stinks.
So
I guess if you have a Kendre Miller jersey, maybe you can take the 2 off of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's, but when you think of 25, who do you still think of, though? Who do you think of, Charlie? Who do you and Steve think of?
I don't know.
I'm thinking Reggie Bush.
Oh,
huh?
Okay. Reggie Bush.
Yeah, that's who I think of. I don't know. I wouldn't think of Kendre Miller. So when I think of 5, he can make 5 famous. I mean, is there other famous 5 Saint number, number 5?
Wasn't that?
The safety, huh? Last year, was that the one who went to Washington? Was he number 5?
Oh, Will Harris?
Yeah, was he 5?
Yeah, I'd have to look. I'm not sure, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm thinking he was 5. But
what man, number was Morstead?
Was it 9?
9. No, 9. Drew Brees was 9.
No, Drew Brees was 9. What was,
I'll have to look that up.
What was Morstead? Somebody 6, 7? Not no.
6. Okay.
Yeah, 6. Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie, with the save.
Yeah, 6. So who's number? That's Tyler Shuck 6 now.
Right.
Right. Right.
The upside down 9.
The only 6 I remember. you don't remember like you think like number 6. Who's number 6? You know, I know him from Louisiana boy. Was number 6, and he played with the Steelers and Broncos. Bubby Brister.
Bubby
was number 6. And then before him, the only other guy I can remember, this is a USFL guy, Washington State, Sonny Six Killer, was a Native American. No, it made sense that he had the number 6, but his last name was Six Killer.
6 made sense to me as a quarterback because you're throwing a touchdown.
6
touchdown,
points.
6 points, right.
6 points. But I don't know. 7's a godly number. 6 is not a godly number.
No, I got you right.
So you want number 7. And I always liked number 7, Burt Jones, LSU Fighting Tigers, Baltimore Colts. Burt Jones, Rustin Rifle.
There's a lot of rifles.
Yeah, yeah. Got Rustin Rifle. But my true mentor, though, was Joe Ferguson. A lot of 12s. A lot of 12. Big success with number 12. You know, Bradshaw, Joe Ferguson.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I actually got that number retired at Northwestern in Natchitoches, number 12. And I took that in honor of Joe Ferguson, Buffalo Bills quarterback before Jim Kelly, my mentor. Showed me how to do a 3-step, 5-step read coverage. In high school, they would just tell you, I don't know, throw it to whoever thinks open. What? It wasn't no coaching. You know, then you learn the fundamentals
of football. Yeah, great. Thanks for that tip, coach. Throw it to whoever's open.
Yeah, it was just alignment, offensive alignment. You're going to run over people. We don't have to throw, so.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll dip more into the sound bank and hear from rookie left tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat? Welcome back into Sports Talk. Promise you more from our WWL sound bank brought to you by First American Bank. Saints first round pick Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle, spoke at practice today. So here's what the rookie had to say.
Chase Young said he's been talking to you about different things. Talk about Chase, how special he is, and what are some of the things he's trying to help you with?
Yeah, Chase is a great guy. I mean, you don't be picked that high in the draft and become who he is for no reason. So just me being able to go against him every day, just helping me sharpen my tools more and more, even going through OTAs when we went versus each other, and even now, like you said, just him showing what I'll see in the game and just different types of rushes that guys probably weren't able to perform in college. So you see different stuff, different hand movements, just different things like that is what we've been talking back and forth about.
Have you played against anybody on a daily basis like him? And how would you describe what is different about him?
Yeah, I would say yes and no, only because, I've played against guys in college who has the speed, or it may not have certain other attributes, but he has both. He has good get off. He has the power to it, and then he has also the smarts to have his use his hands and counter your first and second move that you give to him. And like you said, going against a guy like that really helps me in the long run.
Caesar told us yesterday about how a lot of times y'all will leave the film room excited about, the opportunity to run a play or something like that based on maybe the uniqueness of Kellen's scheme. What is it about that and what it is that Kellen Moore does that excites you?
I mean, honestly, just the versatility. I mean, I came from a college who kind of had that same pro-style kind of feel to it. So most of the plays we run, I kind of already know it, just kind of learning that new wordage for it. So just seeing that and just understanding, I feel very comfortable. And I know other guys on the team feel comfortable as well just running those plays and getting to kind of just explore and do more and show more of their athleticism with different spots Kellen puts us in.
The line has kind of just stayed intact this whole offseason, the first game anyway. What do you think the benefit is that is? Can you tell the results based on all that time?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like us kind of staying intact and obviously having everybody stay healthy and being there and being responsive to all the plays and stuff, it definitely means a lot, especially with the older guys like Eric and Caesar. They're very helpful throughout the O-line. I mean, even Tyler, he's there helping me every day. So just us staying together intact and then just being there for one another whenever another person may not know much as the next guy.
What's the chemistry sort of like when you're in trip with it?
It's great chemistry. We have a great chemistry. They kind of joke around with me and Trevor a lot on our combo blocks just because of how aggressive he is, and then just I feel like I'm an aggressive player as well. So just adding our games both together, I feel like we have great chemistry. I mean, we have great communication on the field. I don't have any doubt in my mind that me and Trevor have a good communication.
How would you kind of describe his aggressive?
Yeah, he's a physical guy. I mean, I kind of got a first hand on it. I mean, I think it was Sunday's practice. I don't think we're in pads yet, and we ran like a little sweep play, and all I see is Trevor driving a guy to the dirt, and then we watching on film, and coach is like, "Be smart," but I like it. So just seeing that firsthand, and even the clips I seen on social media stuff of him just mauling guys, it's a cool experience.
Kellen, how would you describe this run scheme that Kellen Moore's implemented this year?
Yeah, I'll say downhill. It's not too many plays where we're not trying to go downhill. So it's a very schematic scheme where it fits, I say, our players' play style. We got some good backs back there who can cut on a dime and get upfield. So I feel like it fits our offense and the guys that we have pretty well.
Back to your play style from Texas. What has it been like the comfort level or the learning curve since you've been here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge adjustment that I had to make, especially just learning how to be technically sound every play. I mean, obviously nobody's going to be a finished product, so it's a lot that I want to work on and a lot that I feel like I can do better at. But also, just me coming in here and make sure I give 100% of my all, I feel like that's another big step for me and honing in on 100% of that technique. So just getting small stuff tweaked out. I mean, I feel like I've been doing pretty good so far, just making sure I stay focused on the little things.
That is rookie left tackle Kevin Banks Jr. there talking to the media today after the training camp session. And, the Saints, we've talked about this a lot, Bobby, invested a lot of draft capital in that O-line.
Oh, that's right. Offensive line, first round. And come on, look at Eric McCoy. Second round, but plays like a first round. And we're the best centers in the National Football League. But they can't just be very good. They got to be great. We got to get to the point where they play in like a fine fitting glove and they're really the best unit on the team.
It's been one padded practice, but did you notice anything from Trevor Penning at guard that first day?
No, not really, Steve. That's why you want to see more.
More, right, on a consistent basis, right.
And then you want to also see, but it's way off. You know how we can't
the
see?
The one-on-ones.
Maybe, yeah, the one-on-ones. How we don't have the proximity.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm bringing my binoculars tomorrow.
Yeah, with the media so you could see the one-on-ones. Because I think Trevor Penning, truly, because he can come off and his mindset, I think he could run block at a high level. Now, he'll have help. And like I said, he's not having to block Aaron Donald. Like, you know, remember all of a sudden, what's his name? He used to freak
Andrew
out.
Andrew Speed.
Andrew Speed's like, oh, man. Remember Drew
a lot of people flip
remember
out.
Remember that Rams game when Drew Brees hurt his thumb?
Oh, yeah, I was on the sideline for that
and
one.
And then, because Andrew Speed didn't slow down Aaron Donald. So I'd be more looking at that one-on-one with Trevor Penning pass blocking. You know, the center can get in a punch. And then a way to kind of help you. So you're not truly like on an island when you are an offensive tackle. But I think it was just good old football common sense. And Fuaga was all fart and natural flexibility. Now it's better the more you can do to play both right or left tackle, but to put him back at right tackle and let Calvin Banks play left tackle and then Trevor Penning at guard. You know, this happened, I know, just off the top of my head. Three times, I want to say, in Saints history that I can remember, like Jim Dombrowski. Mm-hmm. First-round draft pick, University of Virginia. He's a left tackle. Then he ended up playing left guard and had, like, a double-digit career. I want to say off the top of my head, like 12 years. And then Andrew Speed. Wasn't he originally supposed to be out of Stanford at tackle? And it didn't quite work out, so they put him at guard. Then he got more experience. Then he was able to play tackle the back end. Then his last year, I want to say last year, he parlayed that into a big contract with the Raiders for a tackle. So that's why Trevor Penning, okay, so it didn't quite work out at, for him at tackle, but then he could work out at a high level, maybe at guard. So all I know is you want your five best linemen out there, no matter what they're playing. And you know, they challenge one another. You don't want to be that weakest link. Like Banks is saying, like, when Trevor Penning's balling someone, I guarantee they're in the meeting room, they're high-fiving each other.
Sure, yeah.
They want to see that type of play. And McCoy's the right leader, the right quarterback on that offensive line to lead them. So I'll tell you what, that would be probably the most disappointing thing for me watching this Saints team if our offensive line don't take that next step as a group. I don't know how it's going to be in September, but on the back end of the season, let's say...
you're hoping to see that well-oiled machine.
Without a doubt. Like post-bye. I think our bye week is right before Thanksgiving. So like November, December, that I want them like kicking ass, you know, and taking names. So hopefully that's the case with our O-line. Then if they're not, then that might be, not even looking at the record, I might be more disappointed in that than anything, considering what we have invested in the offensive line, where they should be amongst the best. Then, if they're not, then you got to question, well, are we not drafting maybe the right players?
More from our sound bank after the break, folks. We got some cuts of head coach Kellen Moore. You hear him right after this on WWL Saints Radio.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into our training camp edition of Sports Talk here, joining our WWL Sound Bank that's brought to you by First American Bank. A lot of quick cuts because head coach Kellen Moore also spoke today to the media after the walkthrough session. And one of the first things that coach was asked about on why go through the walkthrough today, a day after being in pads?
Our goal with kind of the, you know, pads yesterday, you know, today they can, we called it a regen day, just kind of recover. They were in the weight room, walk through, basically doing everything we normally do except for the practice component. And then after that, then we got 2 days in pads. And so, you know, now they got, tomorrow we'll get pads, they'll knock it out of the park, they'll do an excellent job, and then they got to respond the next day in pads again.
Bobby, I know from your stories, imagine you told Coach Moore, hey, we need a recovery day after the first day in pads.
They go, he'd go recover this, and I'm pointing in a certain area, you know. No, but I don't know. It's smart football. The bottom line, if you're healthy and you're winning.
Right.
And I'm sure, like I said, he's not doing this by accident. Even though he's the youngest NFL head coach, he has a lot of experience. A lot of experience at the NFL level and who's influenced him. And you take the positives. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles, I wouldn't say Dallas, because Dallas, I take more Eagle stuff than the Cowgirl stuff. But you take a little bit of everything as long as sure. it's a winning formula. So this is definitely, because you know the lactic acid when you, okay, you might say, well, weren't they practicing before, but it wasn't in pads and how you really hitting. And you wake up in the morning, you know, if you had a hard workout, man, you're sore all over, though you think you're in shape, but it's a different kind of soreness. That's how you're hitting on each other. It's like when you wake up after a game on Monday morning, you feel like you've been in a car wreck. And, you know, going up and down the stairs or whatever. So that's, well, and we used to do, let's say, like 2 days, like, and not have a day off. But the collective bargaining agreement, they can't practice more than 3 days now, my understanding, without having a day off. So, but I remember, like, the lactic acid, you'd practice. And then let's say like for the whole week. And it was amazing how the linemen especially would tell me, boy, they went 2 days like on Monday. The two, you know, you feel a little sore on that Tuesday and the 2 days on Tuesday. So it'd be like four practices in that Wednesday, that fifth practice. Whoa, you felt like crap.
Now like you got truck hit you.
You got to come in earlier, get in a hot tub to loosen up the sauna, whatever, trying to get the blood flowing.
Yeah.
And all that, just getting treatment, and then to revive yourself, they'd always be in the cold tub. Now they don't have the cold tub. They have that whole building, you know, with the temperatures down to help sure. revive yourself, which is smart football to get you ready to play. So, hey, the bottom line, whatever you do, you just got to win.
Just win, baby.
You can go every practice with no pads, and if you win, well, that's the right thing to do. Or you can go and practice every day in pads, and it just got to win. That's what the fans want. I can remember Coach Morris still said in 1986 when he first came on board, like there's a new sheriff in town basically versus Bum Phillips. Bum Phillips would be the kind of coach you want to win for, but because he was maybe too little easy with the players compared to Morris was. And Morris to this day, now he's 90 years of age, would tell you, I think I worked y'all too hard then. Because remember Stan Brock and Steve Cordonnell and everyone saying that when training camp was over, we played the Falcons in the Superdome in 86, the first game, we got waxed. It was because, you know who was their quarterback? He does the Falcons radio now, Dave Archer.
Yeah, okay.
From Iowa State, can run around. It's like, we already had played the season before the season started. So Coach Morris said, like, that one good coaching then. Because even though when you survived August, you survived training camp, and it's like you already had played the season, and the season just started. So you got to practice smart, play smart.
We've been talking about the investment in the Saints offensive line, four first-round draft picks, the high second-rounder in Eric McCoy. Well, Kellen Moore was asked how the O-line has looked thus far through camp.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. First day in pads yesterday was good for them to just get out there and get used to it. You know, do some pass rush one-on-ones, just kind of get their pads acclimated, get their feet in the ground. And so it'll be a building process for those guys, but they've done a nice job.
That's definitely an area we're going to be keeping an eye on throughout this padded practice sessions now, is the not just the offensive line, the defensive line as well. But there's so many questions. We're curious to see how the move to Trevor Penning to guard works out, and also, you know, the rookie and Kelvin Banks Jr., how he's shaken.
Well, and I want to see, because good for the defense, not so good for the offense. The first team period when they started, remember the first five plays? So this would be a run drill, whatever. They were doing team, and it went till the fifth play when Kendre Miller, man, I said, he made a couple of nice cuts, a plus nine. But before that, it was like stuff. Good for the defense because we won before last stopping the run. But I'm thinking, I don't know, I ain't good for the old line. That we getting stuff four plays in a row trying to run the ball.
Yeah.
Now, it depends who's running and all that. But, yeah, so that's something you're always going to look forward to when you're looking at team periods and who's having the edge against the run. You want it to be where we're not totally getting gashed. That ain't good for our run defense, but you don't want to be like, Well, we get constantly getting stuff. Well, that ain't good to help the young quarterbacks. You want it to be kind of 50. I told you this before, in theory, like a 50-50 ordeal.
Besides the O-line, Bobby, and the D-line tomorrow, we'll be looking for when the pads are back on for the black and gold. We're out of practice. Is there a player or position group you're going to be really keeping an eye on besides, I guess I'd say quarterbacks too. That's obvious.
Well, you always tend to follow the ball,
yeah.
Unless you want to look at a particular position. Like, I'll tell you, Steve, okay, I know you want to follow the ball. I'm going to watch this.
Go check out the D-line.
Go check out who's winning in the trenches,
yeah.
Who's making plays, because we need that information. But I'm still concerned with our cornerback position. If you look at our young secondary, I think we got the vets at safety. I'm more optimistic at our safety position to get the highly productive.
With Reed and Blackman, right?
Yes, and just all the debt we have there versus our young cornerbacks. The young cornerbacks are going to have to step up.
That's a wrap on this Tuesday edition, Cajun Cannon. Look forward to tomorrow's practice session and being back on Sports Talk tomorrow for us. Say goodnight to the Houdat Nation.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints!
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.